Please be seated. I know I've told the story before, and I probably told it more than once. And Lori, please don't roll your eyes, because I know you've heard it more than that. But I was reminded of it a couple weeks ago when I was driving to Suwanee, Tennessee for a conference, and then again when I saw today's gospel lesson. When I was a kid, every single vacation that my family ever took was a two-week trip to see grandparents, one set outside of Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and the other set in the hills of eastern Kentucky. From Birmingham, it was a really, really long drive. But as soon as we would leave Birmingham, I'd start seeing those signs. You know what, some of you know what I'm talking about. If any of you have ever traveled anywhere north of, say, Montgomery, Alabama, chances are you've lived this story as well. Because it doesn't matter which direction you're coming from when traveling those parts. On any number of interstates, highways, or two-lane roads, you are sure to see them. On barns and billboards and birdhouses, they beckon you. See Rock City. Now, for those of you who don't know, Rock City is a tourist attraction atop Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And as a child, I wanted to see Rock City, even though I didn't know what it was. All those signs, though, told me it was a special place. Dad, can't we stop this year? We don't have to stay long. Mom, wouldn't you like to see Rock City? That vacation litany was always the same. For some 150 miles, I would beg, plead, promise anything to see Rock City. Alas, though, it was always the same every year. We would speed by that exit in Chattanooga, and another year would pass without success. As I mentioned, I can never read today's gospel lesson without remembering those times. Because even though we didn't stop, I did my part to be persistent. In today's gospel, we hear the story of a widow and a judge, and the widow wants something, and she persistently nags the judge until he gives it to her. Not because he's made any value judgment as to the merit of her claim, but instead, he simply wants to get her off his back. That's the story. And frankly, there's not much of a gospel lesson in there for me. Is the implication supposed to be that we need to view God as some indifferent judge who gives us what we ask for once we've nagged him enough? That we ought to pray until we just wear God out? Where's the good news in that? For me, there's got to be something more. Now, we all know about parables. Something happens and Jesus tells a story. Sometimes the disciples get it and sometimes Jesus has to explain it to them later. But this one is different. You see, Luke starts the narrative by actually telling us what the parable is about. He writes in the very first verse, Jesus told a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. So I guess it's pretty clear that this is a parable about prayer and persistence. But the thing I love the most about parables are all the different layers that we're invited to peel away to get to the message inside. Even we're invited to turn things upside down and inside out to see if there's more there than we might first imagine. But too often, I'm afraid, we're too quick to jump into the roles that we're supposed to play in the parable. You know how we do it. God represents some character in the parable, and we represent the other character. And of course, in this parable, God would be the judge, and we would be in the role of the widow. But what if we've got it all backwards? Consider that for a moment. Imagine how this parable can really speak to all of us if we simply reverse roles and view God as the widow and ourselves as the judge. That changes everything. Suddenly, the persistence in this parable isn't about us, it's about God. God's persistent desire to be heard by us. God's persistent desire for justice and peace. God's persistent desire for us to respect the dignity of every human being. And God's persistent will not to be ignored. Jesus told this story at a time when what prayer is and how it works is just as much a mystery as it is for us today. What does it mean to pray always? Well, we pray as a community. We pray as a part of worship. We offer prayers of thanksgiving. We pray for others. And then there are those isolated and sometimes spontaneous moments when we pray in time of need. And I don't mean to discount any of that. All those things are an important part of a prayer life. I just think this parable is calling us to something a little bit more. To rethink what we mean by prayer. And to remember that it is never something that we engage in by ourselves. Our own catechism in the Book of Common Prayer defines prayer as our response to God in thought and deed, with or without words. Isn't that wonderful? It's a perspective I'm afraid that we too frequently forget. When Jesus speaks of the need to pray always, I think he speaks of God's persistent desire to be in dialogue with us and to understand that we are never in prayer alone. I think praying always calls us to more than just those isolated moments when we need something, and instead to a continuing and consistent relationship with God. Maybe it's as simple as the fact, and I know I've said this before too, that we're often too quick to put the punctuation on our prayers with an amen. You know, to end the conversation with God once we finish speaking. Maybe we need to hold off on those amens from time to time. Give God a chance to get a word in. And that's not easy. It's not easy because it requires time, it requires self-discipline, but above all, it demands a willingness on our part to listen. Only in prayerful listening can we reverence God's role in prayer. Only when our prayers move beyond ourselves and our needs and reflect a responsiveness to God can we possibly discover that we are made for communion. Communion not only with God, but with each other. And only in listening can we ever possibly begin to distinguish God's voice from our own. I can't tell you how to do that. I wish I could. Maybe it's as simple as just slowing down and being quiet. But giving God a chance to participate in our prayers can be as easy as setting a place apart from all that distracts us. A little quiet time maybe each morning before work. A walk on the beach, sitting on the porch, or just closing our eyes in rest. But make no mistake about it. God will participate. And I think praying always means being open and available to those times when God might want to initiate the conversation. Because given the chance, God will find us. Because God is persistent. As persistent as a widow who wills to be heard. And if I'm completely off base here, so be it. But who among us hasn't prayed fervently, faithfully, and persistently and not received the outcome we wanted? In the words of the author and theologian Frederick Buechner, maybe persistence in prayer isn't because you've got to beat a path to God's door before God will open it, but because until you beat that path, maybe there's no way of getting to your door. I don't remember how old I was, but once again, that summer trek to Tennessee and Kentucky had begun. I'd done my part. I'd whine for miles about seeing Rock City. And then, without any grand announcement as we approached Lookout Mountain, we actually slowed down and exited. I was speechless. My dream was coming true. My persistence had paid off. And to my amazement, you know what I found out? Rock City is nothing but a bunch of rocks. It was so hazy, I couldn't see Chattanooga, much less seven states. And the worst part about it all was I discovered I have a terrible fear of heights. Maybe persistence does pay off, but sometimes getting what you want isn't all it's cracked up to be. And if we choose to see this parable about as being about our need to be persistent in our petitions to God, then we're bound to be just as disappointed. But if we allow ourselves to see the message as being about God's persistent love for us, then we will discover miraculous things happening through prayer. Miracles where transformations begin in ourselves, in our community, and in a world that we sometimes can't seem to understand. Now more than ever, we must pray always and not lose heart. And now more than ever, it might just be time to hold off on some of our amens and give God a chance to be heard. God love you. Amen.